Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon is our first lesson for this evening, Romans chapter 11, verses 18 and 19, which says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." Your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Back some 60, 70 years ago, when radar was first invented, Sir Robert Watson, who was the inventor of radar, was arrested for speeding. He'd been caught in a radar trap. It was about that same time that my own father got caught by radar, I think in Elmhurst or someplace like that, and relatives gave him solace to say, well, you know, even the inventor of radar got caught by it. After he did, and after his arrest, Watson wrote this poem. "Pity Sir Robert Watson Watt, strange target for a radar plot, and this, with others I could mention, a victim of his own invention." Well, yesterday, officially, spring arrived. And that will soon be followed by blossoming plants and grass, probably around your place like mine. I can see blades from flowers already popping up because we've had some warm weather. And so it will soon be happening. The harvest takes place in the physical world, but also the spiritual world. Scripture tells us, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." In the physical world, this happens when the harvest is affected by floods, drought, or frost. In the spiritual world, there is no such thing as crop failure because there's always a thing that follows. That which is planted is good, that which is planted to bad is bad. Our text says in verse 13, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." And that's a challenge that goes on for all of us as we follow Christ. Because our bodies, the deeds of our body, must be put to death as we rise together with Christ. You know, during the Crimean War, there was an invading army that came across farmers who were engaged in spring planting. And the colonel of the army that was coming through said, "Go ahead, our army will do the reaping." The farmer replied, "Good, I'm sowing hemp." Again, the seeds and reaping. Sowing to the flesh is the title of our message this evening, reminding us that as we live for the world, we go away from Christ, that as his own, he has claimed us through that sacrificial love given on the cross as we've been singing in our hymns, the old rugged cross, but the place of salvation for you and for me. One who didn't follow Christ and who was quite the opposite was Herod the Great. Now, he was a great architect, but he also was a very ruthless man, very murderous. In fact, he was the one central figure in the slaughter of the innocents, which occurred right at the time of the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, because he was totally threatened by this new king. And so he was going to wipe out any possibilities. So all male children in the Bethlehem area, 2 years and younger, were put to death. He was bloodthirsty. He even killed several of his family members, a wife and several sons. It was said, "It is better to be Herod's pig than Herod's son." And so there is a legend, though, that goes on that Herod, even though he was in violent opposition to most people, especially his own relatives, he had a wonderful little grandson that he loved very much. Loved the grandchild more than anything else in the world. The legend goes, we don't know if this is true or not, the legend goes that somehow he was moved by a nurse to Bethlehem, and you know the rest of the story. That's just legend. could have happened. That's the kind of man that Herod was. That's what he sowed, and that's what he reaped. But Scripture gives us a more positive example, at least for the outcome, of Jacob and Esau. You know, I've often said about Jacob, and I hope nobody does this in here, I don't want to offend anyone, but I always said that Jacob is not someone you buy a used car from. He always had an angle. And Jacob deceived Esau twice, both for the birthright and for the blessing. He disguised, with the help of his mother, himself to appear as Esau and then get the blessing from his father Isaac, whose eyesight had failed him. Well, God uses this all because that's the way it was planned. Jacob was to be the line that Christ came through. And so we have that. It's all part of God's plan. We don't always understand. If you read through the book of Esther sometime, and I encourage you to do that. It's a great little book in the Old Testament about Queen Esther, who gets on the throne because the King Xerxes decided that his wife should be put on display as a beauty item. She refused, and they needed a new queen, and so Esther, who actually was a Jew, was selected. Although Haman, who was one of the ruling officials, hated her cousin Mordecai with a passion. And so he had a 75-foot gallows built to hang Mordecai on. Well, it turns out that the king can't sleep one night, and he's reviewing records of things that are people who have done good things for the king. He comes across Mordecai, who had foiled a threat against him, and decided he would do something for Mordecai. Mordecai told him what Haman was plotting against the Jewish people, and that 75-foot gallows that Haman had erected, he was the first customer. He was hung on that gallows. There's a key point in this little book of Esther, and Esther is not so sure she can approach the king. It's not like we have today or in our history. But if you went to the king without permission, it meant your death. So she was really frightened. But Mordecai told her, "And who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" That's a good thing to think about for all of us. What is our part in God's kingdom? As we move to the end of the Lenten season, the first Good Friday and Easter Sunday, we realize that which is sown by the sin and its results. That's why Jesus went to the cross, that we wouldn't bear the results of our sin, but would live forever with him. You know, as we understand the grace of God, and it's a hard thing to understand because we think very much that we earn things. That's our natural, the law is written in our hearts, that's how we think. We've got to do this to get something. But God gives it to us freely because we can't get it and we can't do it. It's impossible. We need God's forgiveness. We need the same grace that people outside the church need, the grace of a loving Savior. But, you know, we too sometimes are like those outside the church. We have all of our excuses. Sunday morning sleep, weekend vacation, watching church on TV instead of being bothered to get up and get dressed a little bit and go over to church. We're all guilty from time to time. And so St. Paul reminds us that we are God's children and we sow to the Spirit, not to our death. Jerusalem rejected the coming of a Savior. We heard this as Pastor Holmes read in the Gospel of John. Now, I've been struck by the Gospel of John, and I did a study on that some years ago. There's many times in there where we hear, "and many more believed in him." So there are a lot of people who believed in Jesus, but as Pastor Holmes read, there were many who didn't. They chose to go their own way. But Scripture points out to us, "There is none other name under heaven given by men by which we might be saved. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." There was a woman who lost her son in a plane crash. And instead of being cynical, she became especially sensitive to the suffering of others. She was a fellow sufferer herself, after all, and she knew that. And she would reach out to them. She knew how it felt. She was with them. She knew suffering instead of being bitter. Verse 17 of our text says, "And if we are children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him." Jesus Christ has come here to receive our suffering. The letter to the Hebrews includes a verse which says that he was tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin. And that's always boggled my mind to think about that. But every kind of temptation you face, Jesus faced it. Except he didn't give in. He won the victory for you and for me that we might live with him forever. Christ on the cross saves us from eternity of weeping and the real harvest of our sins. Instead, we have a harvest of life. Suppose we have someone who's convicted of a crime. At the last hour, they come to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They still pay the sentence. The jail sentence is not wiped out because they believe in Christ. But eternally, you know what will happen. And that's the good news of Easter for every day of our lives. Jesus has turned us from the sowing to the flesh to the sowing and reaping of life. For he grants it. For Jesus' sake, amen.